You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Please welcome Lily Peacock for the Green Desk.
Welcome to the Green Desk. I'm here with Dr. Mels Barton from Cowrie Rescue. The Cowrie Rescue Project is engaging with private landowners to fight cowrie dieback disease, which is decimating cowrie forests all over northern New Zealand. First of all, Dr. Barton, what exactly is cowrie dieback disease and what does it do to the trees?
Hi, Lily. Cowrie dieback disease is a microscopic water mold. So we can't see it, but it lives in the soil. It's a phytophthora. And phytophthora are plant-killing diseases that occur right across the world. There's hundreds and hundreds of phytophthora that kill all sorts of plants. They're very devastating. In fact, the word phytophthora means plant killer. And here in New Zealand, we have a specific phytophthora that is attacking our kauri. And this is new to science, this disease. It travels in the soil, so we can easily pick it up on our feet and our bikes and our dog's paws and transport it from one place to another. And it gets into the kauri through their roots in the soil. It travels up through the roots and it attacks the roots. And then it gets into the food and water transporting cells inside the tree and starts to move up the trunk. And the kauri tree fights the disease by sealing off the cells that it's traveling through by bleeding gum into them. And the disease moves sideways around the tree and the gum follows it and carries on blocking the cells. And what happens is that the tree ring barks itself. So as the bleeding continues around the trunk, obviously it's sealing off all the cells that are feeding the canopy, and the canopy starts to die back, and that's why it is called kauri dieback disease, because you start to see this yellowing in the canopy. But actually it's far more than a dieback, because the trees don't recover, and eventually if the disease continues, the tree continues to ring bark itself until it dies completely.
So it's a two-tiered problem, because you've got the disease itself, which is affecting the tree, but then as the disease kind of goes on, the tree impedes on itself by ring barking itself and cutting off its own cells. Is that kind of what happens?
Yeah, the tree responds by bleeding in an attempt to stop the phytophthora from continuing up the trunk, and the phytophthora moves sideways in the tree and basically moves around the tree, and the gum bleeding continues to follow the phytophthora, and obviously that eventually kills the whole tree.
Wow.
Yeah, the tree's reaction. The tree's reaction to it ends up with its death, but it's the phytophthora causing it.
And yeah. This was a disease that wasn't previously known in New Zealand or in the world?
It's not previously known in the world, this particular type of phytophthora. There are plenty of other phytophthora here that affect other plants, and one of them does affect kauri, but it doesn't seem to kill them all the time. They have a fairly low-grade reaction to a different type of phytophthora called cinnamomai. Sometimes it kills kauri, but more often it doesn't. That one has far more devastating effect in Australia, where it's called a biological bulldozer, and it kills everything. This phytophthora, Agathodicida, which just affects kauri, or just seems to affect kauri at the moment. We don't actually know its effect on other trees. It's quite possible that it will affect other trees as well. So it could be that kauri are the canary in the coal mine for our forests here, which is why we should be really paying attention to this disease and doing something about stopping its spread.
So is this where the Cowrie Rescue Project comes in?
Yes. Basically, we want to work with landowners on private land to help them treat their own trees and develop a citizen science do-it-yourself treatment package to treat the phytophthora within trees that are already infected with it and help them fight back. It doesn't cure the disease and it doesn't stop the trees from being reinfected, and it doesn't clear the infection in the soil. So we don't want people to feel that this treatment is some kind of inoculation against kauri dieback disease. It isn't. But what it does is it gives the tree the boost it needs to be able to fight the phytophthora more successfully. And in the trees that have been tested with this this chemical called phosphite, so far in academic trials, they have survived in a lot of cases, and the lesions, the bleeding gum lesions, have healed and improved, and the trees have survived, and the infection hasn't got any worse.
How does phosphite work against the infection?
That's a good question, because we don't really know
how
it works. It's used in the avocado industry against a different type of Phytophthora, and that's why Dr. Ian Horner, who's leading this project, started his research with phosphite, because it was known to be successful in other industries against other types of Phytophthora. So they thought it might work with curry, and that's why he started doing this, and he has had quite a lot of success. So we're really hopeful that it can, for individual trees, have a very positive effect. But as I say, it doesn't stop the spread of the Phytophthora. It doesn't stop the spread of curry dieback disease. And so what we're doing with this project, yes, is hopefully treating individual trees, but also educating people that they need to do the scrubbing and spraying and be really diligent about hygiene and not spreading the disease onto their land, off their land, or around our forests, because that is what is causing curry dieback, is the spread. It's a little bit like HIV or AIDS for trees. We can't cure it, but we can stop it spreading by being really hygienic and changing our own behavior. And that's the secret here. So we can save individual trees by using phosphite, but what we need to do is stop this disease from spreading all around our forests.
Right, and at the moment it's contained to northern New Zealand, is that correct?
Well, that's where kauri are.
Yeah, so, and it hasn't, as far as we know, it hasn't documented into other tree species, but that is still a possibility.
That
at
is
this
still
point.
A possibility. There has been an MSc student working on Tanikaha, and I haven't seen the final paper yet, but I believe that is showing that it is being affected by the same Phytophthora. So that's not good news.
Yeah, so we've got some concerns there.
Yes.
So along with the project giving space to Western treatments, I noticed that you're also giving space to Matauranga Māori methods. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, it's a really exciting part of the project, actually, and we're really happy to be doing this. What we've said is, okay, we've got this thing that we think might work, phosphite, because we've been using it in trials, but we also know that there are lots of other treatments that people think might work or have been trying on their trees, including all sorts of Western style things, but also Matauranga Māori methods. And what we want to do as part of this trial is encourage people to use other kinds of treatments that they think might work. It doesn't matter what it is. If you think it might work against curry dieback, we encourage you to join the trial and try it within the context of the scientific protocols that we're doing this trial using. So that requires monitoring of the health of the tree and the response of the tree to whatever it is that's being trialed, whether it's phosphite, Matauranga Māori, or whether it's another type of concoction that you've dreamed up yourself, so that we can scientifically assess what the response of the tree is to these different methods of control and see what works and what doesn't work, so that hopefully by the end of 2 years we can issue like a package to people and say, okay, these, we know what works, go and do it on your trees.
So private landowners can approach the Kauri project and say, hey, I've got this method I want to try on my stand here on my land, and you guys will come along and say, cool, we're going to kind of oversee this or help you set this up so that we can monitor it. And then after 2 years, those results will be looked at and we can find a couple different ways to deal with Kauri dieback.
Yes, absolutely. So we are basically, the whole point of the project is to get the community involved in actually collecting the data. So doing the testing and the treatment themselves, and doing the monitoring themselves, and feeding that back into the program with us, so that we end up getting a better variation of different tree sizes in different locations, in different situations, of different methods, more quickly than just by running a normal scientific trial. So basically, we're throwing it out there to the community to say, look, come and join us and help us to test all these different methods and all these different doses, and let's work out what works for our kauri trees as fast as possible here, and get some kind of protocol going that we can then do a public rollout through the kauri dieback program, because we haven't got time to waste. You know, our trees are dying in front of our eyes really, really quickly, and we have to get to a solution by which we can save individual trees quickly. Otherwise, we're going to lose them all. I'm really serious about that. We're looking at local extinctions in the Waitakere Ranges already because the disease is spreading so fast because people are walking it around and not scrubbing and spraying, and they're going down closed tracks and they're spreading the disease everywhere. We as a community have to take ownership for what's happening here. It is us that is spreading this disease. Yes, you know, we've got pigs and we've got possums and we've got birds as well, but fundamentally, it is us. We know that. We can see the spread down the track network, and so we know it is people doing this. And the compliance on the cleaning stations is very, very low. Over 80% of people are just walking past those cleaning stations and not bothering, and that's not good enough. You know, we have to change our behavior. It only takes a few seconds to do this, and if we want to save our forests and we want to keep kauri in them, then we have to look after them, and we have to do the scrubbing and spraying, keep our dogs on a lead, stay on the track, don't go down the closed tracks, and just do that little bit. You know, in what we hope with this project is that we can prove to people that we can save individual kauri trees by treating them with phosphite and maybe other methods. That should give people hope and for them to see that there is a point to doing the scrubbing and spraying. It's not pointless. We can save these trees, but we can only do it if we work together and we do the hygiene methods and we stop the spread. It doesn't matter how many trees we treat, if we carry on spreading this disease to more and more trees, we won't be able to keep up and we will lose all our kauri. So, yes, we're doing this project and we really wanted people to come on board with us and help us to get to a solution more quickly. But I'm also really calling on the public out there to start doing their bit in terms of complying with the scrubbing and spraying, because that's the only way that we're going to save our kauri, is if we all work together and we stop the spread.
Thank you so much, Dr. Barton, for speaking with us today. I think that's a really important message to get out there, guys. If you're going walking in the Waitax, please scrub your boots. Don't spread kauri dieback.
That was The Green Desk.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.